Welcome to Ski Cap, Hoodie, and Shorts. Today's episode, After the Solar Eclipse. Hey everyone, welcome to the Ski Cap, Hoodie, and Shorts podcast. This is your host, Ted Samaras. And today, I just want to do a brief episode here talking about, now that we are on the other side of the solar eclipse, some of the stuff that we saw and some of the other upcoming things going on now that you're really excited about the sun, the moon, the earth, etc. So it was a really great day. I know in New Jersey it was, we had an 85% block or eclipse. And, it was touch and go all day because it was bright sunshine in the morning. And then, you're waiting for 2 o'clock, you're waiting for, 3 o'clock, 3:20 for the peak. And the clouds are rolling in, And so luckily, even when the clouds did roll in, some of them were thin enough that we could see through it. And then some of them also were, we had patches of blue sky. So you were able to see it. I had a wonderful day. Not only did I get to work with a lot of the staff in Franklin Township where I work, in New Jersey, but specifically I got to work with the staff and students that day at Pine Grove Manor School. So I really thank them for having me there. They always have me there, and it's great to be a part of that that group. But specifically on that day, it was great to see just all the staff members, not just the teachers, and also all the students too. Just doing some wonderful activities to get ready. It really was fun to watch. And I'm one of those people who likes to people watch, maybe do a lap or two at the mall and kind of see what's going on. And yes, I certainly looked at the eclipse, and I certainly took in the wonder of the universe. But it was equally, if not more, enjoyable for me to watch people watch the eclipse, and just the questions they had, and the oohs and the ahs, and everybody trying to do the right thing, looking at it. And sometimes in those big moments, even those of us who tend to be a little off task, or maybe want to misbehave every once in a while, it really seemed like everybody wanted to be on task, knowing what a big moment it was. So April 8th was really a wonderful day, and not something I will ever forget. Now, April 9th rolls along, and you still have these glasses, right? So I would advise you, please do not throw these glasses out. If you did already, don't feel bad. But, if you still have them, you have them for a couple of reasons, right? You either have them to, just be commemorative. Hey, I got these glasses. These are from the 2024 eclipse in April. You can always donate them. A colleague of mine had mentioned, that you can donate them to the next group of people who are going to be watching the eclipse, which the next actual solar eclipse that will be, it will actually be an annular one, which is the Ring of Fire one, which is similar to the one we saw in the West in October of 23. There's going to be one going on that crosses through the southern part of Argentina in October of 24. So then there'll be people in South America that will be able to see, different percentages of that eclipse as well. But the other thing is, I'd like you to hold on to those glasses for yourself if you can as well, because the sun is at it's at the peak of its 11-year cycle of activity, and the sun runs an 11-year cycle where it tends to be more active or less active. And right now we're in that period called solar maximus, where it has the most activity from now until like the end of the year. And so there's so much going on with the sun, that, to be able to take those glasses out on any given nice day out and look up and see the sun and be able to be like, wow, I can't believe how dark it is. When I look elsewhere, I can't see anything. But when I look at the sun, I can actually look at it. It doesn't hurt my eyes or anything like that. And again, there's so much activity going on that, you know, either with these glasses, even with the naked eye, you'll really be able to appreciate what's going on with the sun. And then if you're lucky enough to, you know, have a camera with a solar filter, or work with organizations or ask organizations to work with you, different astronomical organizations that have these solar filters that are safe to look at. You might even catch some solar flares or sunspots on the sun, or coronal mass ejections, known as CMEs. And I know the scientists are really excited about studying all of this, especially during an eclipse, because if you realized, if you were watching the streaming coverage, even if you didn't get to see it live, you know, you had that when the moon was in the path of, you know, for the people in the path of totality, when the moon blocked the sun, yes, it blocked the sun, but they had a whole another big ring around it of light with the corona. And so normally that is not visible, because you can't normally see the sun and then be able to see everything, because one, you'd hurt your eyes, and two, with the sun so bright, you don't really see what's around it. So it's almost like invisible to the naked eye. But when the moon passed in front of the sun, it allows you to see that. So I know, you know, people are very excited about the sun. And I also know that the scientists are very excited about, you know, what they were able to see, all the data, that type of thing. This also leads us to, you know, there's a lot of great things going on in space now. So hopefully not only has this whet your appetite to learn more about space and space exploration, but also, you know, one, all the missions that are going on, you know, back and forth to the International Space Station, but then all the other orbiters that are going up, including the Europa Clipper mission that's going to be going up in October of 24, where they're going to be sending a ship out to Europa, which is one of the big planets of Jupiter, where they think that there is a really thick sheet of ice, and they think that it could have the ingredients for life. Not that they think that there is necessarily life there, but that they think that it has the ingredients for that. So that's something to be looking out for if you're into the whole space thing. For those of you who are looking more at, you know, you're really excited about the sun and the moon and its positioning and all that, and you're like, well, wait, how long? I keep hearing another 20 years before a solar eclipse. Well, if you want to become a solar eclipse chaser, a solar eclipse in some fashion, whether it's an annular one with the ring of fire or a total, you know, that type of thing, with the, you know, you can certainly do that. And a total solar eclipse somewhere on Earth happens actually roughly every 18 months, right? And so the reason why a lot of times, you know, it's not talked about so much is because the Earth is 75% water, right? So, you know, it was a little bit easier for me to see the eclipse this time because I walked outside. I didn't have to get on a ship and go to the middle of the ocean, whichever, you know, ocean it happens to be over, and set out for all kinds of costs and logistics and everything else to hopefully see a total eclipse that, you know, the point of totality lasts anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes, right? So that's why people get obviously so excited about it being on land and all that stuff. But if you do want to try to see, you know, another, you know, total solar eclipse coming up, you don't have to wait the 20 years and travel somewhere in the United States or Canada. The next one that you'll see is in 2026. I believe it's October 2026, but, you know, get the exact dates as it gets closer. But you can actually be in, it will cut through a swath of Russia and Greenland, and it's actually going to be heading, I believe, from north to south. And so what it's going to do is at the end, it'll be over water for a bit, and then it's going to actually cut through Spain. And actually the northern part of Portugal as well, on its way to Spain. So if you have now become such a solar eclipse, either, you know, enthusiast or aficionado or both, you can certainly think about going to Spain in 2026. So for those of you who are looking to see the next solar eclipse here in the United States, what you can do is you can start getting ready for 2044. If you're worried about being anywhere in the contiguous 48 states, right? So, you know, this isn't going to necessarily apply to everybody, but if you're willing to travel, but you want to stay within the United States, this is your time to listen. And now what you're going to have is that there's actually a website called National Eclipse. They're not necessarily, they're not affiliated with NASA. It's another one that covers eclipses and provides all kinds of maps and that type of thing. But if you go there, they actually have some great map projections, not only of upcoming eclipses, but also there's a really cool map that talks about all the eclipses that will happen in the continuous 48 states of the United States for the 21st century. So it shows you like the 2017 one and the 2024 one, and it also projects out other total solar eclipses. All right. And so the next one in 2044, just in case you want to start, you know, thinking ahead on your vacation plans, is actually going to be through northern and central Canada. So if you can kind of think about, like, you know, the prairies in Canada. So, you know, places like Saskatchewan, Manitoba. I think it cuts a little bit into Alberta, too, if you're familiar with the provinces. And as it comes down into the United States, because it's going to be coming from north to south, it will actually hit states like Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota. So if you can picture, and that would be the path of totality, right? The rest of us will still get 80%, 70%, 60%, etc. Here in Jersey, we're probably projected to get like 20% from this particular eclipse, you know, because of where it is, and also because of the timing. Because it's going into sunset, what will happen is that eventually it will get dark. So where this had the potential maybe to go right through the central states here in the United States, it kind of stops because when it's dark, the sun's not out, and therefore the moon isn't blocking the sun, and therefore there's no longer a solar eclipse. And in case you're looking at, you know, making your reservation plans, it should be in the eastern part of Montana and the western part of North Dakota and South Dakota. So if you can kind of picture where Mount Rushmore is on the western side of South Dakota, which I'm sure will be a very popular spot, as well as the Black Hills and the Badlands, that area, you know, Spearfish, Sturgis, you're going to have a big crowd like, you know, you do for the motorcycle rallies and all that. In North Dakota, you're looking at places like Beaumont, or Bowman, depending on how you pronounce it. I'm sure one of those two is right. And, you know, as you go out into eastern Montana, you're looking at places at Baker. Like Baker, Montana will probably be popular in terms of the path of totality. If you're wondering why I know a decent amount about this region, hopefully in one of the upcoming episodes later this summer, you'll be able to understand why a little bit. But I'll save that for then. If you are looking for a more broad coast-to-coast one, like the one that we just had now, where, you know, it took a lot of states in, you're looking at August of 2045, which, according to the projected paths, it's going to be going over places like the path of totality, like, you know, like Northern California. So you're looking at, you know, San Francisco, Sacramento, those kind of areas. It looks like it's going to be going over or just near places like Reno, Nevada, Salt Lake City, Utah, in through Denver. It looks like if you live in Oklahoma, almost all of Oklahoma, believe it or not, it's going to be in the path of totality. Arkansas, same thing. And then it's going to cut through the southeast. So you're looking at places like Jackson, Mississippi, and you are looking at places like along the coast of Alabama, the Gulf Coast of Alabama, into Pensacola, and then in through Tampa and out through Miami. So Florida, I'm sure, will be a very, very important area in terms of tourism and all that kind of stuff. And before we, you know, I want to make this comment 21 years in advance, because I know in New Jersey, we happened to have a 4.8 earthquake, a few days before, the actual eclipse, and people were asking if they were affiliated, right? If one thing had to do with the other. Our earthquake here had nothing to do with the solar eclipse. So projecting out 21 years later, any earthquakes that go on in California, which there are many that go on, you know, frequently, or any hurricanes that may go out in Florida or into the Gulf of Mexico, there's no affiliation between those or the solar eclipse of 2045. So if anybody asks you, you could say you listened to this podcast 21 years ago, and that's what they told you. Okay. One, now there's other ones that come through too, right? You could project out into 2078. It looks like it gets a nice band of the United States, right? Also 2099 along the northern part of the United States, but then cuts down into Virginia. Virginia looks like it's actually going to be pretty active. So, but there's one more in particular that I just want to make mention of, and this one is in 2079. And you might be like, Ted, what are you doing? You're talking about all these in 2079. But I'm just saying, you know, for those of you who are looking to annoy your, you know, younger family, you know, whether it's your own kids, your nieces, your nephews, friends, you know, you want to annoy the kids, the grandkids, the great-grandkids, you want to preach to your students, you want to do all that kind of stuff, you can let them know, oh, when you're 85, you'll be able to see another eclipse. But the reason why I bring up the 2079 one is because, assuming that I am still standing in the same place here in Jersey, where I am now, I am actually going to be at the very, very end of the path of totality, it looks like, or the very, very, it looks like it's the very, very end. I believe that one is also coming from north to south. So that one will be coming from, like, northeast Canada. So you're looking at, like, you know, Prince Edward Island, Labrador, that type of thing, right? And into Maine. And then it's going to go into New England. It's actually going to go over New York City. And then it's going to be right, it looks like New Jersey is cut in half, right through Central Jersey, which, you know, guys, by listening to this podcast, that Central Jersey does exist. And so it looks like it may actually, it looks like it's a sunset kind of cutoff, similar to 2044. So it looks like the beginning or the end of it is actually right through New Jersey. So 2079 is, you know, quite a few years off, and you know, I have a reason to completely push on now, and pay taxes in New Jersey for all that time as well, to know. But if you are looking for one that is going to be probably well attended and talked about and everything else, that 2079 one that's going to be going over places like Boston and New York City, that one is going to be absolutely phenomenal, weather permitting. So again, if I were going to save my money for one of these, I do it for 2079, just based on the, you know, just based on the pure area and theatrics of it. You know, if I were a betting man, I would probably, you know, take my shot at the 2045 one and not count on 2079. But, you know, if you are feeling, you know, healthy and you feel like your longevity is going to be really, really, really good, you know, maybe you can project out for that one. So anyway, so again, I know this was like a little kind of like, you know, does this really pertain to me? But it talks more to the enthusiasm that, you know, has built up over the solar eclipse, and that so many people, like, along the path of totality and also outside of it, but, you know, in decent percentages, were able to experience this wonderful experience. And it really has brought a lot of people together. And, you know, I won't wax poetic about what our country needs, what our world needs. I'm sure we all have an idea of what it needs. But an event like this is not only something to now reflect on and be thankful that we were a part of, but it's definitely something that now when you get up in the morning and maybe, you know, the day is going to be a normal mundane day and you want to think about your future, you can project out these total solar eclipses in your mind and go from there. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this, you know, after the solar eclipse episode. As always, this podcast runs best with your feedback. So I always love hearing from you. If you want to go to the main website of the show, it is www.skicaphoodieandshorts.com. If you want to go to my main website, which has not only a link to the podcast, but also some of the other educational professional work I do with some great educators around the world, you can go to www.ourtechcoach.com. If you're looking to hit me up on social media, I am on X/Twitter at ourtechcoach. If you are looking for me on Instagram or LinkedIn, I am at Ted.Samaras. And hopefully any or all of those will be around still in 2079. But if not, I will assure you that I will update my contact information on future episodes of the podcast accordingly. So with that, thank you again for your time. And as always, be good to yourself and be yourself.